Okay, let's. Good morning, everyone. I'd like you to take your Bible. We're going to go to the book of 1 John again, chapter 4. We'll go down to verse 16, chapter 4 of 1 John. And verse 16, we'll continue in the book of 1 John. Let me just pray while you're doing that. We ask, Lord, that you'd help us this morning as we open up thy word. We thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that we can, Father, maybe look into it and help us, Lord, today in Jesus' name we pray, amen. As we come down into the book of 1 John, what I'll do, I'll read you from verse 16, and we'll go down into chapter 15. And I want to mainly focus on the love of God this morning. So the Bible says, and we have known and believed the love that God have to us. Now remember, John has already told us that very clearly in context that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now, one of the key verses in 1 John is in chapter 2 and verse 2 where he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins." In other words, he's talking about the blood of Christ that forgives us of our sins, talking specifically to the believer. But I want you to understand, but not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So God has already loved us. He's loved the world by sending his Son, which we'll come back to in a moment. So he then says, "Herein is our love made perfect," in verse 17, "that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." In other words, that we have already been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, and now we can walk in light of his word. Verse 18, "There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear have torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Be careful of Satan's trick that he uses fear by way of religion. Religion is always a system to put the believer in a way of and takes away the believer's, say, liberty to follow the Lord, to maybe the puts you into fear that somehow if we do this or that, we're wrong. So be careful of Satan's way of using fear. But the Bible really clearly shows that the love of God casteth out fear. When you got saved, as Paul said to Timothy, he said to Timothy, "God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of a sound mind." So then in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Now here's the key to the biblical truth of God's love. And here there's two actions. We love him. But the second part of the verse is what I want to focus on, because he first loved us. And keep that in mind as you look into the Bible. He first loved us. God's love was demonstrated not as a way of a feeling, which is propagated today. Most people think that God will forgive us of our sins because he loves us. Well, that's kind of true, but the truth is he forgave us our sins because he did love us. He first loved us. In other words, Jesus died for us. God sent his Son, and that's what Jesus said to Nicodemus, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So God's love is not a feeling, but was demonstrated by the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again the third day. And we love him because he first loved us. The way for you and I to love God is to receive the love of God and to thank God that Jesus Christ died for our sins. So he first loved us. "If a man say, I love God and hate of his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he have seen, how can the love of God, whom he have not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God." Keep that in mind. "And everyone that loveth him, that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So the key to understand, first of all, the subject on God's love is to always be reminded to the fact that he loved us. It's already been demonstrated. God's already saved the world because God sent his son to save us. So keep that in mind. God's love is always in the past. You could almost put it like this: the world behind me, the cross before me. So when we look at the love of God, let's always be careful not to distract from the fact that he first loved us. And so therefore, it's not a matter whether God loves us. It's not a matter of a feeling. It's a fact, it's a demonstrated fact that Jesus did die, that he did die for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. So it's very important when you come to the book of 1 John, most people take the Bible out of context. It's two C's to remember: there's context and there's conversation. Come back to 1 John with me for a moment, and I want you to keep in mind what the context of 1 John is. So John had the privilege of being a disciple of the Lord. John had the privilege of being on the Isle of Patmos for the word of God's sake. And John here, 1 John, is a real blessing because he's writing to the believer. So if you know that you're saved, he's writing to you. So the conversation then in the book of 1 John is to the believer, not to the unbeliever, but to the believer. But also the context of 1 John is found in verse 1. And the context, he says here, John says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us, made known. And what John is talking about, he's talking about the incarnation. God became flesh. You and I are at this time of the year. We have the virgin birth by Mary. Mary had other children. Her firstborn was the Son of God. Jesus Christ was known as the God-man. He was human, but he was also God, and it's a mystery. Now, one of the mysteries in the Christian life is the seven mysteries, but one of the mysteries is found in 1 Timothy 3:16, where the Bible says, without controversy, great is the mystery. God manifests in the flesh, seen of angels, preached, and was delivered up into heaven. If you get that verse, keep that verse in mind, that one of the mysteries was God manifests in the flesh. The book of John opens up in verse 14, and God became flesh. So the word God became flesh, the word is incarnation. That's what it means. It means to become flesh. So Jesus Christ became a human, and he suffered death, and he also was suffered on all points as we are, yet without sin. He now is in heaven as our high priest and can make intercession for you and I because he knows what we are going through because God was made flesh. Now, the important thing here is that when you get to the book of 1 John, remember the context of 1 John is dealing with the incarnation of Jesus Christ, John, one of the disciples, and he's saying, and this which was from the beginning, which we have heard. So the context of John is the person of Jesus Christ. The conversation is to the believer. And if you go down to verse 4, and keep this in mind in 1 John, and go down to verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that's us, that your joy may be full. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So it's important to remember that the context of 1 John is dealing with the person or the incarnation of God. So therefore, it's important to understand that when we talk of God's love, God's love was demonstrated by God becoming flesh, becoming man, and therefore becoming our Saviour. And God sent him into this world to do that because none other could do that. So let's follow here. Let me not get off track here too much here. But I want to stay on track here with, so in 1 John chapter 5, 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Everyone that loveth him, that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. So one of the key things to the believer is this. As a believer, now that you've received the Spirit of God, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption, there's a witness in you that Jesus Christ was God manifest in the flesh. That's the key to the Christian life. He was incarnate. Christmas time talks about the gift that God gave us, Emmanuel with us. It was prophesied in Isaiah. But just remember, it was God incarnate. He became flesh. So when we come to verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. So keep in mind now, why do I love God? Well, because it was demonstrated by the way that he sent his son. It was demonstrated that it was God manifest in the flesh. It was witnessed by the disciples. And John's writing to the believer to keep in mind that we believe in the Son of God. I don't believe in a Christian religion. I believe in the Son of God. When I got saved, I didn't ask anyone's permission whether I should get saved. I don't need to ask anyone's permission now to live for Jesus Christ because that's who we believe in. Now, the Bible says that we are believers. And if you just take your Bible with me and go to 1 Corinthians and keep these verses in mind because they are good to remember. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, if you just take your Bible and go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I'll pick it up in verse 1 to put some context. So Paul writing, he says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, we faint not. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So to handle the word of God deceitfully would be to say that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh, which we'll come back to in a moment. But by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Now the gospel is that Christ died for us. We know that. We'll come back to that. But notice verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who's that? That's Satan. So he's blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, for our sake. So what is the thing that overcomes unbelief is belief. And Satan has called unbelief by the way of blinding the minds of them which believe not, yet the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who shines unto us, brings us faith and belief. So faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. Amen. So if you come back and keep that in mind as we come back to 1 John, we'll pick this very fact, the fact up. Now, I want you to remember, keep this always in mind, God loved us. It's already demonstrated. But God commendeth his love towards us, and while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. So it's we love him because he first loved us. I do not love God because it's always some emotional feeling. I love him because he died for me. He's already demonstrated that love. And then when you think of Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So therefore the seriousness of it all is for an unbeliever to believe, is to believe in Jesus Christ. And then for us, we believe that Jesus Christ did die for us. He did die for our sins, and he was buried and rose again. So the context of 1 John is very important to keep in mind. The context is a person. So what he's talking about, the incarnation. John also had the privilege of following him, but he also uses another word, propitiation, which is dealing with the blood of Christ. The word atonement is found in Romans chapter 5, verse 11. The word atonement is also dealing with the blood of Jesus Christ. and that when you and I got saved, we received him. Now, here's the key. It's not a matter whether God loves me. That's not the issue. The issue always is to the person. Will that person receive the love of God? And that's the key. The key to a person being saved is, will they receive the love of God? And the only way you can receive the love of God is to receive the one that he sent, which is the Son of God. So when you and I receive Jesus Christ as our Savior, we have also received the love of God. Can I get at least an amen out of that? Because that's who you are to receive, is Jesus Christ, the one who God sent. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have received the love of God. That's what most people have a problem with. They want to lean on their good works. They want to lean on maybe their Christian religion. No, the Bible never talks about us leaning on anything, but rather than receiving the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. Now, that's why John wrote 1 John, because the emphasis is on the Son of God, the person, and it's the person of Jesus Christ that we need to receive. Now, when I receive the love of God, which is Christ, by faith, by his grace, I also receive the forgiveness of sins, amen, because Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. It was his blood that was shed. It was not a human blood. It was God's blood. And that blood was presented in heaven and therefore appeased the holiness of the wrath of God. And that's what the word propitiation means. So at this time of the year, when you think about the baby Jesus, think of it more like this: God with us. And God had to come down. And the only way he could save man from sin and hell was for himself to come and step out of heaven as the Son of God and became flesh to take away our sin. So therefore, Jesus Christ was not all that he was, not all human. He was human and God. It's a mystery. It's one of the seven mysteries. And when you got saved, you've received Christ. Now you have the incarnate God indwelling you. That's what he means when he says that the love of God indwelleth us. Notice back in verse 16, and we have known and believed the love that God have to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and in God in him. So the love of God is found in Jesus Christ, and the context of 1 John is for us to abide in him by faith. And when you and I are abiding in the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, we therefore, by now having a new nature, we are a new creature. We're not in heaven yet. We're a new creature, but we have a new nature, and that nature is a divine nature. It's a divine nature, which means that I can love other people, but more so, I love one another. And he's talking about those that are born again. So our love towards one another is based upon the fact that you and I have been born again. We have received now the Spirit of God. We can love one another. He's not talking about our love towards humanity as such. He's talking about our love as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. That's what he's dealing with, because as you now have the love of God indwelling in you, and I have the love of God indwelling in you, it's therefore easy for us to love one another, because the center of our love is the person of Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. Now, the other point is to remember too, if you sin, don't worry about feeling sorry that you're a sinner. Always remember that God doesn't forgive you because you feel sorry for your sin. Go back to your mind and remember that Jesus Christ's blood was shed for your sin, and remember the atonement. And when we get our mind off our own works and our own misery, and we get our mind back on the fact that it was God's blood, his atonement, that was shed for our sin, and then I can live in light of that and not be worried about my sin, but understand that God has forgiven me of my sin in Jesus Christ. We therefore confess our sins before him. We ask that the blood of Jesus Christ would wash us from our sin, and therefore we can walk in light again with him. So the Christian life is not based upon church attendance. Keep this in mind. The Christian life is based upon our walk with Jesus Christ. And that's what 1 John deals with. He says, little children, walk as he walked. One of the verses he says here, For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. But one of the commandments of God is that, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. It's not hard for me to love someone who's born again, amen? What's grievous about that? I have the Spirit of God, and so do they. So we can therefore love one another, and we keep his commandments. So it's important when we come to the love of God, then you're thinking of someone, maybe a family member or someone that isn't saved. All you keep in mind, have they yet asked Jesus Christ to be their Saviour, and will they receive the love of God, which was the Son of God? Come over to Luke chapter 7, verse 43. I think this is a good illustration to keep in mind when dealing with the love of God, which is the Son of God. Now, you can read many verses through your Bible to take this lesson, and you can develop on the lesson of the love of God. But come over to Luke chapter 7 and verse, where are we? And we'll go down to verse 43. And this probably was Mary. This probably would have been the one that she was Mary. She was a sister of Martha. It seems as though this is Simon's house, was the leper. The leper Simon was Judas Iscariot's father. He was known as Iscariot. In verse 43, the Bible says, Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most, and he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and they gavest me no water for my feet, but she have washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, have not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman have anointed me my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Here's the illustration. Mary didn't come in there for deliverance. She came in there because the Lord was to die for her sins, and she's thankful, and she was thankful to know that Jesus Christ came for that reason. So therefore, she loves him because Jesus Christ is to die for her. Think of it this way. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. He died for us. Think about that. Your God died for you. The illustration is that she loved much because she was forgiven of much. Maybe we need to get back to the fact of loving the Lord Jesus Christ because he first loved us. We need to get back and love him because he loved us. Amen. You need to get back to that point where you love him and thank him for dying for your sins, and ever keep the cross before for you and the world behind you, and I'll guarantee you'll keep the love of God before you. When you keep the love of God before you, then therefore now you can walk in his light and in his love, and you have to have no fear then being brought into a Christian religion, which I think is very prevalent today, which leaves out the love of God, and they even leave out the incarnation. Now come over to 1 John chapter 4, and this is a good one for Bible students to keep in mind. But John said this. He said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. So if you get around someone who doesn't believe that Jesus Christ was manifest and came in the flesh, he says in verse 3, And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Keep that in mind. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, wherefore we have heard that it should come even now. It's already in the world. So this time is Christmas. Look at Christmas as the incarnation, and it's a great time to witness that Jesus Christ was manifest in the flesh. And that incarnation of God being manifest in the flesh is his manifest. It's the love of God manifest towards the human race. It's a love of God is manifest towards us personally, and the fact that he died for us personally, he died for our sins. So keep So keep that in mind as we come into this time of the year. It was God manifest in the flesh. So he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-5, Paul made it very clear, for I have delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now here's the great thing about this time of the year. The Lord was manifest in the flesh. He then died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And now he's risen again. He's now on the right hand of the Father. He is now our high priest. He now can make intercession for you and I. And we can come unto boldly unto the throne of grace in time of need, because he is our high priest. He's made that ultimate sacrifice for us. Now, also the other great thing is this time of the year to keep in mind that we are the children of God. We've been born again. We can keep his commandments, and we can love as children of God. We are the children of God, amen. What a blessing that is to know that you're a child of God. You're eternally secure. You'll get, when you die, you'll get home into heaven, amen. We're not there yet. But there's a spiritual nature of like-mindedness with believers. It's a wonderful thing to be of be around those of like-mind believers. That's our fellowship. And we can have a fellowship that's based upon the Son of God and his word. And we don't need to worry about the religions, the Christian religions of this world, because we can overcome this world by the love of God. That's what he said there. And just beware that your faith is not misguided also away from the fact that God loved us. And that's why he said we love him, because he first loved us. So John puts the emphasis on us keeping our love towards Christ because he first loved us. That's the order. If you keep in mind that you love the Lord because he loved you, you'll do well. Don't come to God just for deliverance. Come to God first on the basis that he loved us by dying for our sins. Keep that in mind, and then the Lord will direct you, guide you. He will lead you. He will bring you into the paths of righteousness which he so desires for you. And we now can submit to the will of God, because we now don't have the fear that's in us anymore. We have the love of God. So therefore, if you love someone, it's easy to follow them. It can, you know, that's as easy as that. It's enough that we are the sons of God, born again, redeemed by the single fact that we can have fellowship with him. I'll close with this last verse. And I want you to keep in mind now that you are a believer. You have been born again. And 1 John, he makes it very clear here. He says that we are witnesses of the fact that he died for us, which I'll do next week. Think of your Christian life. You now have God indwelling you, incarnate. He now indwells you. We now can walk after the Spirit of God. The world see that, understand that we are his. We are witnesses to the resurrection. And it's that witness that can then deal with a person and convince that person by the way of the Holy Ghost that they're sinners and that they need to be saved. And the only way a person can be saved is if they understand that they need to receive the love of God, which is Jesus Christ. The Antichrist or the devil will always put something in the way of a person receiving the love of God. The love of God is freely given to all man. You don't have to be fearful of it. A lot of people don't want to be saved because they're fearful of the unknown. Sometimes they think, oh, well, if I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, he might ask me to do something. Well, I've always got a good saying for that. My life wasn't too good without him, but it's far better with him, amen. So therefore, whatever he asks me to do, I have no problem doing, because I know that the Lord always has the best in mind for us and those things. So hopefully this little lesson went over rather quickly, but it would be really advantageous to you to read the book of 1 John. Keep in context that John's speaking about the incarnation. He's dealing with the person of God. He's dealing with the fact that we have received the love of God when we got saved. We are now born again. We have now a new nature which allows us to love one another as children of God. And so therefore the conversation of 1 John is to the believer, not to the unbeliever. And the unbeliever can be saved as so much as we're saved, because God has already saved the world, because his blood was shed not just for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. So I pray that you have a good day today, and I'll look forward to spending some more time with you soon.